Would you live differently if every part of your life were visible? In this devotional, I ask the question that separates real faith from fake religion. This isn't about playing church. It's about walking in God's light when no one else is watching. The truth about willful disobedience versus stumbling will challenge everything you thought you knew about God's grace. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. Hey, that's fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. Hey, I hope you're having a great day, and we are going to dive into God's Word in just a few moments. We are in our series, You Shall Love Your Neighbor as Yourself, so loving our neighbors. And I hope you're enjoying this series. If you are, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment, and place this inside of your Washington Defender app huddle. It really does help us accomplish a goal to change the hearts so that we change the public square. Also, if you're a financial partner of FPIW or FPIW Action, we so very much appreciate your monthly donations. It really does help us accomplish what we are trying to do around here by defending and advancing biblical values in the public square. So we're going to dive into God's Word, and we are in Romans chapter 13, and this series is verses 8 through 14. It says this, "Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Do this knowing that the time that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of the darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. All right, so we're going to look at verse 13 in the first part. Let us behave properly as in the day. Here's our big idea. Because you belong to the day, your lifestyle should be open, honest, and clean or holy before God. Would you live differently if every part of your life were visible? All right, so think about this. Are you living in the light? Are you living in the day of the light? And I know that as I read these scriptures, there's many people who may be thinking, hey, who defines the day? Who defines what's light? Who defines, well, let me tell you something. It is the Word of God that defines light, day, the presence of Almighty God. God gets to define righteousness and holiness. God gets to say what is sin, what is not sin. It is God's Word that defines it. And if you're questioning it, I'd say start reading God's Word. Dive into the Word of God today and allow it to encourage you as how to walk in the light. Well, John had some things to say about this. John the disciple, here we go. "This is the message we've heard from him and announced to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all." That's 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. "This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you." And this is where, if we want to truly love our neighbor, we have to understand that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. Okay? There is no, absolutely no darkness in God Almighty. You say, well, okay, what is dark? Well, we read about some of those things. He says in Romans, he said, carousing, drunkenness, sexual promiscuity, sensuality, strife, jealousy. Those are deeds of the darkness. And think about what would change in the public square today if just half of those, or even two-thirds of those, or one-third of those, just we began to honor those in the public square. Now, I believe God wants us to honor all of them, right? He wants us to walk in all of them because he understands that there's a relational impact when we walk in darkness or when we walk in light. And the impact can be for his glory, or the impact can be for our flesh and our flesh's glory. So he says, there is no, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Important. There is no sin. God is righteous, holy, set apart, pure, all that. So it says this, if we say we have fellowship with him. So if you're out there and you're claiming to be a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, if you say you have fellowship with him and yet you walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. It is a lie, and I'm not trying to sound harsh. I'm just reading John to you today. It is a lie to say I'm a Christian, but then I get to live contrary to the word of God in willful disobedience, okay, to the word of God, because God just has to forgive me. That's not what it says. That's not how I understand it. Whatever it might be, or your excuse might be. That's just man-made religion, you know, whatever. That is very, very arrogant to begin to say that. Now, I use the words willful disobedience. That was intentional because, of course, we all struggle with sin at different times. We all have different propensities to certain types of sin. But if I am willfully participating in that sin, I am looking at it and saying, I'm going that direction, regardless of what the word of God has to say and the spirit of God has convicted me of, I'm just going to do it anyway. It's okay. God loves me. You better be careful because it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, in other words, if we go back to that Romans 13, if we walk in jealousy, but we say we're Christian, we say, I'm jealous. That's okay. You know, God's just got to love me. No, repent of your jealousy. If we walk in promiscuity or sensuality, living off of our senses and our emotions, no, repent, turn to the living God, live off of truth. Sexual promiscuity or drunkenness or carousing, no, repent, turn to the living God. Because it says we lie and do not practice the truth. We need to be people who practice truth, not practice darkness or practice sin. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light. Okay, so walking in the light as Jesus Christ is in the light, look at this. We have fellowship with one another. Now, whenever I used to read this, I used to think that it meant we have fellowship with Jesus. But this says we have fellowship with one another, okay? That very idea of walking in the light as he is in the light, yes, we have fellowship with Jesus, but we also have fellowship with each other. Because when a relationship is based upon light, it is pure, it is holy, it is honoring, it is God glorifying, it is all those things. When a relationship is filled with darkness, it is selfish, it is flesh, it is self-seeking, it is all those things that are contrary to the word of God. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Can you say amen to that? Aren't you glad that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all your sin? The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Now, verse 8 is the big excuse verse. If we say that we have no sin, now we are deceiving ourselves and truth is not in us. Okay, we are all sinners saved by God's grace. And just because we are all sinners saved by God's grace, those who have confessed Jesus as Lord and believed in their heart that God raised him from the dead, we are saved, doesn't give us a license to sin. This verse does not give us a license to sin. It doesn't say, well, I'm a sinner, so I'm just going to do it. No, it gives us a license to practice the truth. And when we don't align with God's truth, then we back up and we say, God, you are right. You are holy. Forgive me, God. Because we're not going to that place of practicing sin. We are going to that place of practicing righteousness. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you today. Walk in the light. Be a person of the light. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. So if we say that, hey, my parents were Christians and so I don't need a savior. No, that's not going to cut it with God. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. That's chapter 2, verse 1. So the whole motive of him writing this verses 5 through 10 is so that we may not sin. He's not saying use these as your excuse chapter to go out there and live however you want. He's not saying well, I'm a sinner, so I'm just going to do this. Or if we say that we have not sinned, of course we've all sinned. There is none righteous, no, not even one. We need a savior. But that doesn't mean that after we've come to know Jesus Christ, that we have to live in willful disobedience to God any longer. Now we stumble, we don't dance with sin. That's the incredible difference. So you want to be a person of change, a person that sees the public square transformed? Dance with God. Allow the Holy Spirit to cleanse you from all unrighteousness and allow Him to take away every ounce of willful disobedience, even your stumblings. Say, God, they're yours. Forgive me. I need you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We do pray that you would go before us in all things today, that you would surround us. God, we walk in the light as you are in the light so that we could have fellowship with you and with others. Teach us to love you first and to love others as well, God. Help us to fulfill the greatest commandments, to love God, love others. And so we just thank you for that. We pray for those around us, God, that say that they have fellowship with you, but yet walk in darkness. They walk in areas of this culture that are contrary to your word, God. We pray for deliverance. We pray for freedom. We pray for newness of life and conviction by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for who you are in Jesus' name. Amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.